Thank you. Better watch my P's and my Q's today. Yes, it's a little hard. Yeah. Well, I promise no jokes. Other than the one that was played on me to have to preach this. I think you're going to find that I did some study. Yeah. I want to preface my remarks today about some things. You know, we're a community church, right? If that means anything to any of us, I think it means that many of us are from various walks of Christian life, right? I could ask people here, you know, how many of you used to be a part of the Catholic Church? How many used to be a part of the Christian Church? How many used to be a part of the Baptist Church? How many used to be part of a Pentecostal or Assembly of God or whatever church, charismatic group, whatever. You know, we could see a show of hands. Everybody comes from different places. And you've all been more or less raised up in different theological thought. Oh, Mennonites. I left out the Mennonites. That's a big one, you know. And sorry, guys. Didn't mean to leave. I'm trying not to leave anybody out. Don't want to have a mass migration to the front. Anything like that. Anyway, for those of you that don't know what's going on here, this is kind of a joke. I was telling jokes this week about what I'm supposed to preach on today, about the woman being created. And this has all been staged so that I'll mind my P's and Q's, okay? Because I was telling a lot of probably inappropriate jokes. I don't know if it was. You know what? They were appropriate? You're supporting me. Okay. Yeah. You're helping me, right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what I'd like to say about differences in theology. The more I am going to be preaching in the book of Genesis, the more I'm probably going to be saying some things that maybe don't agree quite with your theology. Please don't throw me out as a heretic. You heard that last song we sang, nothing but the blood of Jesus, okay? And if you believe in the blood of Jesus, and you believe that, I preached in Shorts Church, the Mennonite church, for 2 years. You know, I never had a problem. We didn't all believe the same thing, you know? It wasn't all about the same thing. That didn't make me a heretic. That didn't make me a non-believer. We have to be very quick, especially if we're going to be a community church, to not castigate somebody as a heretic simply because they may not believe everything just the way we believe it. Okay, now I'm not setting you all up so I can speak some kind of heresy. That's not what I'm talking about. But I've always, as a minister, and I've been a minister for over, 45 years, preaching in various parts of the world. I bet I've preached in more places in the world than anybody else in the city of Washington. Hello? That doesn't make me any less of a heretic. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is God has had me out there doing things and saying things because my purpose in my heart is that people might see God and come to love God. And sometimes you have to kind of give God an opportunity to open up your heart a little bit more. How many of you know everything there is to know about God? Nobody here does. Neither do I. Okay? But if we can somehow step back and look at something a little different than we've always looked at. I mean, otherwise, I'll just come up here and read a commentary to you, okay? And I don't have any, there's nothing wrong with a commentary. I use them all the time. You wouldn't believe how many times I've had to correct them. You wouldn't believe how many times the Bible has shed light on the commentaries I've read. But I'm just saying that everybody is trying to know Him more, get to know Him and love Him more, you know? And that's the purpose of this. You know, just because somebody doesn't believe in a triune God doesn't make them a heretic and a non-Christian. We happen to believe in a triune God here. We happen to preach that. I preach about a triune God, Trinity, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But there are people in town who are Christians, believe it or not, they're Christians and they don't necessarily see God as a triune God. And I know they're believers. I know them to be believers. You understand what I'm saying here? We have to be we're going to have to be a little more generous if we're going to be a real community church. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Now, I'm not trying to set you up. I want to have the freedom to say some things today without people going, well, why do you say that? Well, if it doesn't fit your theological box, just remember there's somebody sitting next to you that's got a different theological box than you, and somebody over here has got a different theological box. A lot of the same things are in those boxes, but there's a few things that aren't in those boxes. Doesn't make them. The one thing that has to be in their box and in your box is the blood of Jesus, that you know that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus. And you trust in Him. You trust Him. And you know Him. That's enough for that. Ken Fleetwood's in my group that we get with every week, and he's got us studying a devotion. We learn something in Hebrew about every day, don't we? Anybody done that? We're learning. Well, I'll tell you, he's given us all kinds of stuff in that book. You guys know what I'm talking about, the Book of Mysteries. It's a fantastic book. It's good some days not so hot, but I like it because I'm learning things about the Hebrew language and what it means. And some of that not in this message, but one thing he shared with me last week. You remember maybe the last time I spoke? I can't remember when it was. Yeah, it was the last time I spoke. Talked about how God creates something out of nothing. Okay? God creates something out of nothing. Do you know what the Hebrew word for that is? It's called abracadabra. Now, I wonder why somebody uses that every once in a while. It's abracadabra. Abracadabra. That's God creating something. Creating something out of nothing is, that's the Hebrew word for that. Isn't that interesting how they stole that and started using that in other places, right? That's cool, I thought that was a cool thing. I had to share that. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today, because God didn't create something out of nothing today, did He, ladies? He created something out of something. That's the difference between all of you. Never mind. Oh, Lord, I better open up the Bible before I get into it. Okay, turn to page 2 of your Bible. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. I'm going to read it. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him a helper suitable for him.' And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall." Help me, Jesus. You just never know what's going to happen once you fall asleep. So the Lord God... The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh at that place, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." I got to get this up a little higher here. Can't see. All right. I'm just going to hit on a few things in this. See, it was during Adam's naming of the animals that God noticed that He had no one like himself. No animal would do. Because, you know, Adam was made in God's likeness, God's image. None of the animals were made in God's likeness and image, but Adam was made in God's likeness and image. So there was no animal that, even though you could pet the dog, you could talk to the dog, feed the dog, hug the dog, but the dog was not like Adam. And God noticed this. Now, I don't know what the original, you know, my mind goes kind of crazy on this because I'm thinking, well, I don't know what the original intent was. It looked like I know it says in the first chapter, verse 28, God created male and female and all that. But, you know, all of this is put together after it's all over with. So you add it in here and you add it in there. It doesn't mean it all happened in chronological order. In fact, the stuff we're talking about here, it could have happened on day 6 for all we know. It's just a reiteration of how it took place and what took place. And we know that the situation here for Adam, as God looked at it, as God contemplated it, he felt like it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. Now, the problem was he was alone. He wasn't lonely. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. He wasn't lonely. And it wasn't that Adam was not created good. Adam was good. Sometimes people think, I've heard people say this many years ago as I listen to preaching sometimes, it's like a woman had to be created to complete Adam. Well, I don't believe that. You know, men are complete the way they are. Women are complete the way they are. It wasn't that somehow or another he wasn't quite what he should be, and so she had to come along and make him what he should be. I don't believe that's what a woman's for necessarily. Although, ladies, I do believe she can make him better. Okay, got to add all that stuff, you know. Get leapt upon. I'm kind of beginning to figure like what the Apostle Paul must have been like when he went into a few towns. If I end up in jail tonight, you'll know. Anyway, I got to cut that out. The situation for Adam was as a man. It wasn't that as a man he wasn't good. It was good. It was in relationship with all the animals and everything that he had. Everything was good, what he was doing. It was Adam's aloneness that God looked down and he wanted to do something about that. He doesn't have anybody he can relate to. He doesn't have anybody like himself here. You know? And I think it's interesting how God wanted to do something about that. Can I just divert a little bit, or I think the words digress? I spend most of my time in messages in my digression of messages, so. But let me just digress here a little bit and talk about what happened here. In the event that God noticed the situation, this is a wonderful, intimate thing here. It says that, you don't want to pass over this too quick, God brought all the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, that either means what it says, or we can theologically say it means something else, but I'd like to look at it just what it says. God said, hey, I've created this wonderful thing called Adam, man. He's created in my likeness and image. He has the power of volition just like I do. I want to bring him by here and just see what he'll call these things. And I'm going to sit back and record them. And whatever he calls them, that's what I'm going to call them. If he gives it some dumb name, I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to overrule him. I'm just going to let him call it that. Can you see that? This is God. Now, beyond all that, this is God being involved with the creature he created in his likeness and image. He's enjoying. Do you feel like he's enjoying this? We could just leap over that, but I think God actually enjoyed that practice. I bet he was planning on doing a lot of other stuff. You know, the Bible in the next chapter talks about he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Sound like he made a practice of that. Sound like he made a practice of looking for the man that he had created and said, hey, let's go for a walk. I don't know. Maybe I'm just stretching it, but it looks very interesting to me. God was actively involved with what he created. I don't think God intended to make a creature in his likeness and image and go off and never have anything more to do with him. If God wants to have something to do with us today, can't you imagine that he wanted to have something to do with us in the very beginning? It's a powerful thought to me to see what he would call them. And whatever he called them, that became its name. He gave authority to the man. He gave, it says that in chapter 1, verse 28. It says, God blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, and rule. Rule over everything. Gave him dominion. Gave him rulership over everything. Well, we'll get back to that later on. So anyway, it was in that process that God noticed that the aloneness, the fact that Adam didn't have anybody like himself or suitable for himself. Maybe God was saying, I enjoy this relationship I have with Adam, but Adam doesn't have anybody like himself to have a relationship with. I don't know how God came up to this conclusion. And so he decided it would be better. Can your God think? Can your God think? My God can think. The God that I see in the Bible, he can think. Think involves progress or process. You know, to me, he came up with this idea about making somebody else because he was thinking. He had his mind, his thoughts towards Adam. He was thinking about Adam. There's places in the Bible where it talks about God actually thinking. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be white as snow. He told us to reason together. Later on in Isaiah 55, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. It was done in the context of their sins being forgiven. Most people just kind of quote that out of context, but it was in the context of telling them your sins can be forgiven, and they could not think that they've been so bad and so awful. Have you ever been so awful and so bad and so sinful that you don't think God can forgive you? Am I the only one that's done that? You know? And God was saying, don't think like that because the way I think about you is not the way you should think about you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. So God can think. And I believe God was thinking here. It seems in this moment God saw something that would be better for Adam. He was thinking this up, thought it all up. You know what? God didn't just make a woman, ladies. He made family, didn't he? If you think about it, God said, well, I have no way of making her without making all of them. I got to make a family. And that's what he did. But before God could make a family, he had to build a woman. Hey, that's the word he used. That's the word in the Hebrew. In my Bible, it says God fashioned into a woman. It's the word built. Now, I'm going to spend a little time on the word built. You guys are always looking at gals and saying, boy, she sure is built. Well, I got news for you. Yes, sir. She was built. That's what it says. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible uses that word all through the Bible, the same word. It has to do with building a kingdom. It has to do with building a future. It's the word for building kingdoms and building futures. The word used to depict God's making of Eve is the word bana. Is Kenny here? He'll straighten me out if he... Bana, B-A-N-A-H in our English way of saying it. Bana. And it's a very interesting word. It means God built, or bana, Eve. Adam was created, but Eve was built from Adam. Adam even says that. He came out of me, so... The word bana in the Hebrew is the root word for other Hebrew words. It's the root word for ben, which means son. It's the root word for bat, which means daughter. So when God used that word built Eve, in that word was sons and daughters. Right in the word was sons and daughters. They took out of that word the word for son. There was no such thing as son until Eve came along. There was no such thing as daughter until Eve came along. And the word for son and daughter was right in the word built Eve. Isn't that wonderful? God knows how to do things, doesn't he? He knows how to get the message across. Praise God. So the Lord built Eve, and from Eve come sons and daughters. Thus family was created. And her name Eve meant the mother of all living. That's why. That's when he didn't just create Eve, he created family when he created Eve. I'm sure he had to do some work on Adam. You know, when he sewed him back up, got him all fixed up so that they could have family. Now, let's move on. Well, I'm sure you're all ready for this word helper. Anybody want to get up and do a seventh inning stretch or anything like that, you know? Helper. What is a helper? It sounds like a subservient role to leader, doesn't it? But that isn't what the word means. I had to do some research on this. It isn't. It's the word Ezer. Ezer. Moses, when he came out of Egypt, named his son Eliezer, God, my helper. The word is used two times in reference to Eve here. It's only used 21 times in the whole Old Testament. But 16 times it's used for God. God is my helper. God has been my helper. Said many, many times throughout the Old Testament. Do you think it's talking about God being someone subservient to the person that he helped? Absolutely not. I don't think I want to say that. If I did say that, we'd have these ladies have a right to just jump on me and beat the tar out of me. I'd be the first one to invite them up here. Because God is not saying that she's someone that's subservient. She's here just to serve Adam and to help Adam. Adam had the problem, Eve didn't. He was alone, and it wasn't even a problem he recognized. God recognized it. Probably God wanted to get out of all the job of having to create these guys. You know, he had to scoop up a little more dirt and breathe into them, and well, there's another one. Scoop up a little more. He probably was thinking, you know, this is going to wear me out. I'll have to figure up some way to keep this thing going without doing that. Because that's the way he made them up until this time. Now, don't get me wrong. Jeff didn't say that there was a whole bunch of men created by God out of dirt and clay. But if he wanted another man, that's what he was going to have to do, right? Would you all agree with me? Gosh, this is difficult. Why do we have to preach on things that aren't fun to preach on sometimes? I guess that's what it means to go through the Bible, right? So Eve helped Adam's situation. She remedied his loneliness. His aloneness. Now, he wasn't lonely. I want you to understand, Adam wouldn't walk around and say, I don't have anybody I can talk to. He wasn't doing that. He was okay. It was God that said, I think I need to do something here. We got to get that in our head. Eve provided a service to Adam. It says nothing about her role as a woman. There's nothing about her role in here. From now on, she's got to be this or that. None of that was in there. That was developed in the cultures. of that time. That was all developed in the culture. Did you know that the early Hebrews, if you had a father and he had a son, and the son married a daughter, or married a woman, and the son died, you had to give another son to that woman so she could raise up children in the name of the son that died. How come we don't practice that today? We just don't do that, do we? That was a cultural thing. It wasn't a biblical thing. It was a cultural thing. And there was a lot of cultural norms and cultural things that happened that was imposed on women and things like that during that time. But it didn't come from here. It didn't come from the... It probably did because of the way it's been preached and taught. But the word helper means deliverer, strong deliverer. That's what it means. Ezer means a strong deliverance. Eve came to deliver Adam from aloneness. And God built her so that she could deliver him from being alone. Not some weak little guy wimping around because he didn't have anybody to talk to. That's not the purpose. She came in and he was no longer alone. He wasn't out there talking to the dog all day like I do half the time when my wife's gone. And some of you guys do the same thing. I know you do. Hey, how you doing today? Does a dog ever talk back? No. Honey, I bet you have to go outside, don't you? Yeah, I got to go outside. Why? Because I'm alone, no one there. Who are you going to find out if the dog needs to go outside or not? Besides the dog, right? But you hear what I'm saying. We do that, and Adam's out there talking to these things. It's like, man, he's alone. He needs someone to talk to, you know. None of those chimps ever talk back. Okay. Eve provided this service. It has nothing to do with her role as a woman. Some of that later on in the New Testament gets straightened out as to what people have to get along. We're going to talk about that too. The Bible calls God our helper. It doesn't mean he's become subservient to us. I got to keep saying that. It actually means he's a powerful deliverer who comes alongside of us to get us out of a great trouble that we're in. So when helper refers to God, we recognize that he has many other roles to fill. He's the lawgiver. He's a God of justice. He's the judge. He's the king. He's the savior. So absolutely, Eve's going to have other roles to fill. She's going to be a mother. She's going to have other roles. She's the only one who can do that. So back to Eve. Her life's mission is suddenly greatly magnified. If you go back to Genesis 1:28, let me just show you this. Please go back there and read this if you got your Bible with you. God created man. Or 27, let's start in 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Who did he give that command to? It wasn't to Adam. It was to them. Male and female. She was given a co-regent job to rule. Just like Adam was given a job to rule, she was to rule. But you know what? What does it say at the end of what we read today? The two shall become what? One. So it's like one entity ruling. That's what God intended. God said to them, not just Adam, she had a part in this ruling over thing. She had a major role in this. Just because she's created second doesn't mean she was somehow... We got to get that out of our head. You know? Her insight And her view of the world is important in making decisions. I'm not going to ask you men to stand up, but how many times has her insight in things helped you make one of the biggest decisions of your life? And how many times you didn't listen to it helped you to make one of the biggest messes in your life? We don't have to stand up, but there's enough chuckles in here to know that sometimes that happens. So that we're to move as one. We're to move as one. That's what God intended. If we don't know what that means, we better start asking God what it means, how to figure it out. I like to see it this way. I don't know if a guy told me this one time or just came up on me one time when I was thinking about it. But you know, as a man, I see the world a certain way, don't I? I see the world. I see you. I listen. I hear things a certain way. I see things a certain way. I think things a certain way. Every one of us has a maybe like a worldview. Maybe we could call it that, a worldview, right? Well, now a young lady comes along and she catches your attention and you want to marry her. Well, guess what? You married a different worldview. She saw the world totally different in a lot of areas than you did. And I'm telling you, a lot of your worldviews will overlap. I mean, your overview about Jesus and who He is, that should overlap in your hearts and minds together. But there's a lot of stuff that won't overlap, won't mesh at all. Now, you can step back and say, well, how'd you get to be so wrong? And she can step back and look at you and say, well, how'd you get to be so right? And the thing about it is, neither one of you are wrong, maybe. Well, some of it may be wrong. What it is, she may be correcting your worldview. You may be correcting her worldview. She may have given you a look at the world that you've never even thought about before because of the way you grew up and where you lived and all that stuff. You don't even see the world that way. And all of a sudden, she's giving you a whole different worldview, and you're going, whoa, whoa. And you have to think about it. Next thing you know, change is happening in you and in her both. What's happening? You're becoming one. You're becoming one. Isn't that why people should get together? You know, all this fighting in the streets and stuff, that's never going to get resolved the way we want it. We've done some bad things in America. I told someone the other day, I said, every white church in the South ought to not have church on Sunday, walk over to a black church and go inside and say, would you all just forgive us for what we did to you all? Would you just forgive us? Harry, would you just forgive us what we did to the black people? Just forgive us. That's all we can do. That's all we can say is forgive us. What else can we do? But no one wants to do that. No one wants to just put it down because of their worldview. They got a worldview. They got a worldview. And they can't. No, we're right. No, we're right. No, it don't work. It don't work that way between a man and a woman. I'm sure Adam and Eve could have got in a big argument about naming those. Naming those critters. Thankfully, God got all that out of the way before she came along. I know. But anyway, you hear what I'm saying here. The two become one. Eve helps Adam by seeing his world from her viewpoint. Adam had a better perception of God's world because of Eve. But together, they had to rule as co-regents. They had to rule as people together, walking together in the world around them. That's what God asked us to do. God asked us to do that. He asked us to forgive. He asked us to listen and open up our hearts to one another. That's how people become one. You know, the Bible talks about unity. The Bible talks about us becoming one. That doesn't mean we all agree on everything. That just means we give space. We give space to other people who see things a little different than us. Like I started out with this thing. We give space to someone. Maybe their view of God can help me to grow. Maybe my view of God can help someone else to grow. That's the way I see it. You know, we're going to take communion today. I think, yeah, we got it out over here. We're going to take communion. And we're a community church. Community, the word has its roots in the word communion. We're in community. We have communion. It means we settle on the big things. All the particulars, we can't all get it out. And that's the way with even Adam and Eve. Maybe all the particulars, she couldn't see everything the way he saw things, but together they could work together in a unity. And you know, as far as the helping goes, aren't we all supposed to help each other? We're all supposed to help one another. We're all supposed to serve one another. The New Testament talks about that. We're to serve one another. And you know, that's the heart of the Lord Jesus, is he came to serve. And if we have that kind of mentality, we can have that kind of help or that kind of a heart to serve, then there can't help but be a unity of mind and spirit and a willingness to get along, willingness to serve together and work together, becoming one. Let's stand together and have prayer, and then we'll turn you loose for receiving communion. Brad's going to come later and close. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your word. Lord, I did the best I could with what I had and what I knew. And I just pray today, God, some of the things that was shared would help people today, God. Help them to see who you are. Help them to love you more. Help them to love others more. Lord, we thank you for your caring enough for us to be involved with us like you were Adam. You still want to be involved with us. You give us projects to do, and then you work alongside of us, and you're blessed and you're pleased as we work together and do things together. And you're happy with us, God, when we do that. Thank you, God. Forgive us as a people, Lord God, for failing you. Forgive me as a husband for failing my wife. Forgive me as a father for failing my children. Forgive me, Father. Help me, God, to grow. Help me, God, to see you. Help me to know you. Help me to grow near to you, Lord. Lord, I believe that the closer we get to you, the closer we can get to one another, Lord. Pray the Holy Spirit would guide us in this. Give us grace. Give us faith. Give us love, Lord. The greatest of this is love, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless us today as we receive these elements, Lord God. As we take them in, Lord, help us to realize we're receiving Christ, the precious blood of a spotless lamb, whose body was broken for us and given for us. Lord, help us to be broken and given to one another, Lord. In the love of Christ, I pray. Amen.